November 10th, this is Argus News Radio. News, culture, and life at Wesleyan University and beyond. Argus News Radio is a collaboration between WESU-FM in Middletown and Wesleyan student newspaper, The Argus. I'm your host, Andrea Dominic. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. As always, let's kick off the show with a look at some of the past week's headlines. One week ago, Middletown Mayor and Republican incumbent Sebastian Giuliano beat his Democratic challenger, Dan Drew, to enter his third term as mayor. Although the city of Middletown is predominantly Democratic, Giuliano received 4,388 votes in comparison to Drew's 3,902. Ruthan Johnson of the Realistic Balance Party received just 104 votes. In an interview with The Argus, Giuliano attributed the win to his track record for the past two terms. He said, "What got me reelected was pretty much how I conducted myself and this office for the last 4 years." Post-election, Drew has not given up his commitment to Middletown and said that he may run again in 2011. Back on campus, Wesleyan's administration continues to struggle with its budget in the wake of the economic crisis. The university's endowment recently experienced an upswing, however, increasing from a low of $488 million in January of this year to $531 million in September. The turnaround in the financial markets, coupled with budget cuts for the 2009-2010 academic year, contributed to the endowment's growth. But despite these gains, the endowment remains significantly below its peak in the fiscal year of 2007, during which it grew by 15% to $711 million. Consequently, the administration is considering further budget cuts for the next academic year. But when it comes to campus progress, the College of the Environment was formally announced during homecoming this weekend, in conjunction with the 50th anniversary of the College of Social Studies and the College of Letters. Wesleyan's Educational Policy Committee, which is in charge of approving curriculum changes, voted to pass the measure last week. In addition to working in conjunction with the Environmental Studies major, another part of the College of the Environment will be a new first-in-the-nation environmental think tank, which will bring in various experts from different fields to collaborate on one environmental issue each year. These experts will teach seminar classes for College of the Environment students, and senior majors will also be able to participate in and base their senior capstone projects on research done in the think tank. Next up, it's contributor Abaye Steinmetz-Silber with a look at how the Cardinals fared this weekend at Wesleyan's homecoming.
How you doing? I'm Abaye Steinmetz-Silber with your Wesleyan Sports. We had a disappointing weekend, this homecoming weekend here at Wesleyan in terms of sports. Men's soccer lost in the NESCAC semifinals to Middlebury 2-0. Middlebury's two goals came late in the game at the 78th and 81st minutes to end the men's soccer season. However, because of men's soccer's incredible record this season going undefeated, they've been selected as one of 17 at-large teams among conferences with automatic qualifiers, and Wesleyan will be a host site for first and second round action in the NCAA tournament. They're going to host St. Joe's in the first round on Saturday, November 14th. Men's football lost as well in the homecoming game against Williams, 7-34. Wesleyan's one score came late in the third quarter. It's one touchdown, 8-yard pass from quarterback Blake DuBois to Dave Brunelli, and the extra point was good by Matt Alexander. In other sports news, women's volleyball lost the NESCAC Championship 0-3 against Tufts on Saturday. Well, that's all the sports for this week. I'll see you next week.
Thanks so much, Abaye. And in the spirit of homecoming, A&R contributor Ezra Silk sat down with senior Sean Foley, a member of the Cardinal football team, to talk about his thesis and Stalin.
Hi, this is Ezra Silk. I'm with Sean Foley. He's a senior, and he's writing an essay, this semester for Professor Pomper about Stalin, his identity, and the imperial policies of Russia. Sean, can you tell us a little bit about why you chose this topic?
Absolutely. We find that the Soviet Union solidified in ideology and in policy under Stalin. So understanding Stalin and his regime is very important in understanding the failure of the Soviet project.
And can you talk about why it's so interesting that he's from Georgia and not from Russia originally?
Absolutely. Stalin has been criticized in the past as identifying as a great Russian, as a Russian nationalist. And this shows through in a lot of his policies that greatly favor the Russian ethnicity over all the non-Russian ethnicities in the Soviet Union. So in general, the Georgian state had been dominated by the Russian Empire for hundreds of years. And this sort of identification with the aggressor is quite common in psychology, but is of great historical interest.
So you're getting a little bit into the psychology of Stalin.
Absolutely. This is a main focus of my project is psychohistory.
Right. And he, you said he was a street thug back in the day. Can you tell us a little more about what he was like before he became the Stalin we know?
He was showing his brutality early on in his life. Those things that kind of characterize his regime, he exhibited from a very young age on the streets of Tbilisi.
And you said your psychohistory is one of the disciplines that you're involved in your essay. I know we've both taken classes about psychohistory. What's appealing to you about that field?
Well, psychohistory brings in a very interesting thread into the historical discipline. History is kind of an all-encompassing discipline that embraces a lot of other social science techniques. Psychology is one of the most useful and interesting, I think, and it does a great deal in helping our more accurate interpretation of the past.
Right, but your essay is not completely psychohistorical, right? You're doing other things with it.
Very true. I try to draw in a lot of structural inputs into Stalin's decisions and those things that contributed to his policy formations.
Right. So when do we start seeing Stalin's psychology really having a massive impact on the direction of Russia?
Well, even from an early stage in his career, his political career, even in the mid 1920s, we see his personal identifications affecting how he portrayed his own camp, if you will, in as a faction in the Bolshevik party. When they start affecting the regime as a whole would be probably in the late 30s after the Great Terror and purges that he committed.
Right. So you're seeing evidence of his paranoid impulses?
Yes.
Right. You said that one of the reasons you initially got into this topic is because you find this historically relevant today. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Of course. I think that the healthcare bill proposed by President Obama has been associated with communism, which has had for many years a very negative connotation for very obvious reasons. What my project shows is that a lot of the uglier aspects of communism are attributable only to Stalin's personality and his personal identifications and those sorts of things. They're not systemic problems. So what we see now is that this this condemnation of socialism and socialistic type policies is unwarranted and anachronistic.
Right. So maybe we should separate socialism from Stalin.
For sure.
All right. Thanks a lot, Sean. Have a nice day.
Thank you. You too, Ezra.
Always love to hear what kind of stuff people are getting into senior year. And on that note, that's a wrap for this week's show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Argus News Radio's fine staff are producers Sam Bernhardt and Mary Longley, senior contributor Ezra Silk, contributor Abaye Steinmetz-Silber, and of course me, your host, Andrea Dominic. Be sure to catch us next week, same Argus time and same Argus place, right here, 2:45 p.m. on Tuesdays on WESU. Or you can catch us online, anytime, on the Argus' website. That's www.wesleyanargus.com. Until next week, keep it classy, Middletown.